At this time, I'd like to say to you that when we are putting this message together, I had in my mind, especially the little ones. And when I say the little ones, I'm talking about the young ones. Not necessarily little, because there are some young ones and they are very tall. So we had you in mind. And so please, if the adults start to sleep a little bit, just stretch your wings like this. Right? Stretch your wings and make sure that nobody falls asleep. And it is very important for us to understand that it is a very precious group, the young people. We can never just preach for the, you know, sometimes as a pastor we think that we have an obligation to come and give a good message to the adults. And we sometimes have a temptation to bypass them. No, we cannot do that. So please, we had you in mind, and there are some vivid pictures that I hope that will be implanted in your mind and will help you to mold your life for the future. That is, and as we talk about wings, please remember, wings that are not stretched don't have too much value. So that is the, today is the Sabbath. It is Abba's Day, and we like to wish you, all of you, a very blessed Sabbath day. And remember, it is Sabbath until sunset. Not until the service is over. Sabbath continues until sunset. Make the best of it. Now here is the sky, very crowded, but the eagle is flying. Today's message is stretch your wings. What do you see in a picture, young ones? Imagine this being yourself. Or either you're looking to the mirror and think too much of yourself, or you may be looking in the mirror and look and think too little of yourself. Either one is dangerous because you're going to extremes. You're going away from reality. But if you look in the mirror and you say, this is what I want to be, that is different. One thing is to have the drive to be somebody and or to say, you know, come to a situation when you say, oh, poor me, I'm nobody, and that's the problem. How do you see yourself? The way you see yourself when you're young is going to decide what kind of future you have. Because opportunities will come based on your attitude, not on somebody else's attitude. So please take the notes. You needed to look about yourself. No, not with the arrogance. You know, there is another extreme. Sometimes you think that too much of yourself and you end up mistreating other people. You think that you're better than everybody else. That's not the intent. But you should never think that you're worse than anybody else unless you choose to be worse than anybody else. So when you look in the mirror, do you say, wow, boy, am I good looking? Or do you look in the mirror and say, oh no. So how do you do? Or you may say, oh yes. Ah. Or you say, oh no. What is life turned me into? Illusion. Illusion is a very dangerous word. Sometimes we live in a world of fantasy and we end up being a victim of our own illusion. We need to be real in life. And the more real you are with your life, your expectations, the better chance you have to succeed in life. Be realistic. Be positive. Be ambitious. But everything with caution. Don't go to extremes. How do you picture yourself? Can you see the cat? He look in the mirror, his own image. And look what he's coming up with. He's projecting somebody else because that's the way he wants to see himself or herself. What do you see here? How do you see others? Have you noticed that sometimes two people, sometimes brothers, sometimes people that are very close, husband and wife, they look at the same picture and they both see something totally different. So how we see others has a lot to do with how we see ourselves as well. Do you see a young lady or you see an old lady? What do you see? What are you looking for? There was somebody who said, if you look hard enough, you find good in every person that you look at. If you have good inside of you, you search for good. If you have bad inside of you, everything you look at becomes bad. So what are you looking? What do you see in others? Now, this is going to let the ladies a little bit uncomfortable for a little bit, but it is my job to make people uncomfortable. So here it goes. Cosmetics. You know the word cosmetics right in front of it has the cosmos. That's the same word that we use for the world. That is the same thing that implies the universe. So the word cosmetics has to do with make things adorned, make things in order, or make things look better. But because we are a church, let me exploit a little bit the other meaning of the word, the world. Cosmetics can make you look like the world a lot. So be cautious about that part of cosmetics. American women spend an average of $12,000 with beauty products and grooming every year. $12,000. Some are necessary. Let's not go to extremes. Okay, there are things that you spend that is necessary, and please do spend those money. But there are things that are just plain vanity. It's just cosmos. I put this list, I know that will be very hard for you to see it. I have two of them, but I just decided just to use one of them. It says most expensive face. That means just on the face alone. We'll talk about everything else that women use. This is the face. And I'm not picking on the women, okay? Please don't take me wrong. It says New York, they spend $11 a day, every day, just the face, nothing else, just the face. And then you see the other lists over there. California is what, $950 or let's see, California. Yeah, $950. So maybe it's talking about one of you because we live in California, right? So that is how much money is used just to look like somebody else or we want to be like everybody else. Here's a text in the Bible that we as a Seventh-day Adventist church use it in order to motivate everyone. And by the way, even though it says women here, this applies for men and women. Okay, let's not make sure that we understand. This text is not about what women wears. In like manner also, that the women adorn, that word adorn of there is cosmos in Greek. It's cosmos. A woman adorn themselves in modest apparel. And then it says, with property and moderation, not with the braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing goodness or godliness with good works. In other words, how you dress, how you take care of yourself should represent who you are as you relate to God, not as you relate to the world. Now, here's a face. What happens to this face if we use some cosmos? So this is what happens when cosmos comes in. Somebody said, oh, Pastor, that part looks better than the other one. But this is what happens. When you, there was nothing wrong with this face, but it went to another extreme to make sure that I put too much. We are talking about extremes. Now, see the mascara? Now, I don't know if this lady was trying to look herself like a... Maybe she likes animals. All that I'm trying to emphasize here is please understand the extremes. Talking about extremes. Do you know that a tattoo is very expensive? And it has become a pandemic. If you watch soccer, some of you may watch soccer. Some of you say that's too boring sport, but I do. You'd be amazed at how much of the soccer players now, so many of them are covering themselves with tattoos. And they cost a fortune. Some of them cost a fortune. But the sea, I put those pictures up there because this is what the extreme look like. Extremes. It says this, you shall not make any cutting in your flesh for the dead. For tattoo any mark on your, nor tattoo any mark on you. Why? I am the Lord. Now, let me give an example. Imagine this is God's sanctuary. This is the Lord's house. Imagine Brother David. I'm going to be picking on Brother David Kelly a little bit. Imagine on Sabbath morning, Brother David comes very inspired. And he loved this place. He loved this church. And I have no doubt that he does. And but he brings a little can of paint. And he wants to just leave a little mark up there and say, I love the Lord. So he writes on that wall there, I love the Lord. And then somebody else says, you know what? I love the Lord too. So I'll make another mark over there. Imagine what this place will look like if everybody starts to leave a stamp on the walls every time they come in, or at least once. There is some things in life that are not meant to be. And when God gave you a face, He wants to for you to keep that face the way He gave you to you. Look what these people have done to their lives. There's no turning back. So please be aware it's not the right thing. And I say this because there are a lot of young people here that eventually they will get their so-called freedom, and they may end up being tempted to do some things like this to their lives. Remember, God made you the way He made you. He wants to see it back.
Amen.
Don't turn yourself into a monster and then say, God, can you fix it? Of course, by His grace, He'll fix a lot of things. If you have made a mistake in your life, God can fix that. But if you choose to live a life of mistakes, then you pay the price for it. Here, this little duckling says, I wish I could be just like them. Let me say this, children. You are unique. You are special. You don't have to be like anybody else. When your parents received you as trust by God to take care of you, you are the gift that God gave to them. You don't need to be somebody else. You need to be a good self, not somebody else. Have the decency to look in the mirror and say, I'm pleased because God made me the way I am. Don't force yourself to be like everybody else. Or how many people have surgery on their eyes because they want to have an eye a little bit more open. And then their lips, it has to be a little bit more full. Oh, I want my lips to be a little thinner. Oh, I had to color my hair. I want to do this. And goes on and on to the point that the person spends more time and money trying to be somebody else. Be yourself. Who determines the worth of a person? Who decides how important you are? Is it somebody else? Is it men? Is it women? Are the circumstances in your life is what determine what how much you are worth? Who defines who you are? Who defines? God does. And I put in a picture of there a man and a woman to make sure that you understand this is applies to all of us. Now, God looked at everything He made. And there was Sirianni. There was Michelle. And He looked and He said that everything He had made was good. Very good. I was hoping to hear the Kisakas over there say amen. Right? This was the right time for them to say amen, the two of them there. So the same thing when God create each one of you, Chloe, right? The little ones, the Sister Cheryl's, the three ones over there. All of you. All of you. You too, Brother Jordan. And Moses too. And Micaiah is back there. All of you. Yes, Angel too. All of you young people. And you too, sister. Very good indeed, he said. Very good. So, brothers and sisters, look at your children. And remember, God made them very good. If they not become no good, it's because you did something not good to them. So please, look at them as good and you see good in them. And you motivate and you encourage them to do good and good will come and multiply. Be good. Let me read this. God is not the creator of imperfection. By the way, those of you who are here, we have an excellent Sabbath school lesson, didn't we? I already told Brother James, God blessed him with the right inspiration and the right leadership. It was a good lesson. Very good lesson indeed. God is not the creator of imperfection. We create imperfection. We create the consequence that comes upon us, not God. All the differences that we have now, one is short, another one is bigger, another one is smaller skin, all those differences that we have now, it's all caused by sin. But there is good news. The time is coming when the Lord is going to remove all the garbage that sin has put upon us. Amen. And we're going to look good again. We're going to look very good indeed. So God says, so God created human beings, you and I, in His own image. In what image? What image? God image. So we don't need to look to Hollywood and decide which way we should look like, right? Just for some of you here do not know, I don't call it Hollywood because there's nothing holy there. It's Hollywood. Okay, so if you look for Hollywood, there's nothing holy there. So why you keep looking? It's amazing how much those people have influence in our children and as well as sometimes in adults. We see something on television and pretty soon, Mom, I gotta get it. I have to have it. Or sometimes in the school, one person comes wearing something. Oh, that's the fashion. We needed to look like everybody else. Why don't you do for a change? Keep your strong personality. You'll be amazed that the people will be attracted to you and will start to copy you. Because when you start to copy others, then you cease to be yourself. It says, He created them, male and female, according to His image. So anytime you have any doubt about, nobody likes me, I want you to open your Bible and read this verse. For God created me His own image. I will not do anything to damage that image. I will make something to improve that image, but never to damage. Now, I know that every whatever God has does will last forever. And that's us. And then he says, God does not make any junk. God has done this so that people are reverent before him. This is Ecclesiastes 3:14. Mark this in your Bible. It's very important. Every time you have any doubt about your self-worth, says, I know that whatever God does will last forever. It is forever. The words are under there. It is forever. Okay, the text was only over each other. Now, can you read what is inside of the globe? God doesn't make junk. I saw this little boy, a picture of this, this drawing from this little boy in a classroom, and it says there, I know I am somebody, cause God don't make no junk. Please understand that that is the way. I like to tell you an illustration. This illustration is my own version. You may hear this illustration used in many different ways. There was, I don't know if you can see in the picture, there is a father and a son. They went up in the mountains to a lake to do some fishing Sunday morning. It was the boy's birthday. So the father decided to spend some time with him, and they have fun. They were fishing. After they fished for a little while, they got into their horses. They were back. As they were going back, they went under this very tall trees. And then, as they were passing under, something dropped from the tree, very high on the tree, and fell on some of the bushes there. The son saw it and said, Dad, wait a minute. Something just came down from the tree. And the father stopped. Let's check it out. And when they check it out, they found this. Looks like a little chick. It was a bird. Now they have to decide, what are we going to do? And they look back to see if the mother was looking for it or something. And they couldn't see any bird flying around. So they said, if we leave here, another animal will come and kill it. Or ants, even when they are little like this, they don't move a lot. Ants can come and kill them. So they decide to take it home. Yes, Dad, can we take it home? Yes, we decide to take it home. But how are we going to take care of this? We'll find a way. So they found a way. There was this lady over there who had quite a few little ones. Says, well, one more, it will be fine. And so they put the little one up there, and the hand took care of it just like it was one of her own. Can you see him?
Yes.
Or her? There it is. All right. So here's another one. Now they are in the back. There he is. Nice and warm. She is taking care of him like or her, like no problem. It's just one of them. But then time goes by, and there is the difference. But you see, everyone can see the difference. But they didn't, because they were brought up together. So that ego did exactly the same thing that her adopted sisters did. They went and scratched the ground looking for worms and bugs and ate. And when they came to feed them, they ate exactly. She ran with them. She slept the same location with them. And every time they got up, the same time. And she got in her brain that she was a chicken. Because she was raised with a chicken. She ate with a chicken. She tries sometimes, she tries to imitate the noise of the chicken, but she didn't succeed that way. But she did her best to be like them, to fit in. She never believed that she was anything else but just a chicken. With a different, by the way, they don't use mirrors in a yard, so she couldn't look and say, I look different. No, she just thought that everything was fine. There she was, and all the other chicken, many different types. One day, a pastor came by to visit the family, and when he arrived, the wife said, "Oh, my husband is in the backyard feeding the chicken. And just a second, I'm going to send the kids to call him." The pastor said, no, let me go there. I'd like to see. I have been raised in the city. I like to see the animals. I like to see. I want experience. I want to be there." So he said, "Okay, but be careful where you step on." And so he went there. And say, "Oh, hi, brother," and everything else. I said, "Oh, just a second. I'm about finishing here, and then we can go inside." And he had this bag around his neck here with the grains, and the farmer was putting it here and throw like this for all the chicken. And as he threw, you could see them running everywhere and eating. So the pastor asked, "Would you give me a chance to help?" Said, "Well, really? Yeah, I'd like the experience to do it also." So he took the thing from his neck, put it in the pastor's neck, and the pastor said, "Okay, do it like this. Take a handful and throw." And you know why, pastor, you have to throw like this? Because if you put it all in one place, only the strong ones will eat. They will push the little ones out of the place. But if you throw like this, what happens is that the big ones are too fat and too lazy to run. So they want to eat only what falls close to them. But the little ones know that I have no chance here, but I have chance there because of there I'm faster. So in that way, all of them eat. And so, okay, he threw and all of them run to eat. And there was this strange looking chicken running. And the pastor looked and said, "Brother, an eagle is going to eat your chicken." And the farmers laughed. They said, "No, pastor, that is not an eagle. That is a chicken." And the pastor said, "Are you joking? I'm from the city, but I know the difference between an eagle and a chicken. That is an eagle." And the farmer says, no, pastor, I didn't mean that way. What I mean is that it has the body of an eagle, but has the mind of a chicken. Let me tell this story. And he told him how that eagle became a chicken. And it was a chicken. So the pastor says, "Do you mind if I try something?" "Oh, no, go ahead. I know what you're going to say. If you try to throw it up and it will fly, right?" "I tried. My kids and I, my wife, we tried a few times. It didn't work. Every time it bounces back like this and hurt her back on the ground and run straight to be with her sisters there, the chicken. Every time she went. And she is a chicken. No matter what I did, she..." "Let me try." "Yes, you go ahead and try." So they gave the pastor a glove. He took the eagle in his arm. And he started to say, "Okay, they already threw it up and it didn't do anything. I have to try something else different." So he went to a place a little higher. And he said, he talked to the eagle. He told her, "You are born to fly. You are an eagle." Of course, the bird didn't understand anything he was saying, but he was talking to the bird, saying, "You are born to fly. You are not a chicken. You are not a chicken." And probably the bird, if we could read the bird's mind, says, "I am a chicken." But he kept talking to the bird. And then he threw the bird up, and the bird went straight to the ground. And as it hit the ground, got up and ran towards the chicken to be there with the chicken. That is the comfort place. That's where I'm fed. I don't need to go and search for the food. That is the place where I don't need to work so hard. It's, everything is easy as long as I behave just like everybody else around. That is the place that I belong. So the pastor went to pick up the bird again. He said, let me try something else. Let me go to a higher place. And the farm says, are you going to kill my chicken? I mean, the eagle. He said, let me try. So he took to a higher place. And now there he stretched her wings and tried to make her feel the air and move back and forth. You know, the eagle, when you stretch her wings, is like a almost 7 feet, some are even like close. It's a huge. So the wind blew. And she started feeling something triggers inside of her mind that was there put by God. A connection with the wind. You know, sometimes our young people, they don't do very well in life because no one helps them to stretch their wings and feel the Holy Spirit. So a moment that something happens to that bird, then the pastor took the bird's head and made the bird look. And you see, all her life, she was always looking to the ground because that's what chicken do. That was chicken supposed to do. And you'll be amazed that some children are victims of their own cultural systems. When they are, you cannot do this because you look the way you are. Look who you are. And they are contained. They are forced to think like a chicken. They are not pushed to be better. They are just pushed to be like everybody else. Don't do this to your young people. That is a crime. It is a crime to limit the potential of the ones that God entrusted to you. Help them to stretch their wings. Help them to know how special they are in this life. There is a purpose for their existence. Make sure you find that purpose and make something great about their lives. So this bird now looked and almost had a heart attack. Because before she could see inches, maybe a yard. Now she was looking at more than a mile. And for the first time, she saw things that she did not believe that even existed. The moment that you stretch the wings of your child will be somebody who will surprise you with their potential. If you want your child to have a vision, there's no vision until the wings are stretched. Until you are elevated to a higher place where you can see the world that the Lord decided that was supposed to be yours. Then he threw her again. And she did a few times. And she realized by nature that if I do this so hard, I'm going to end up going down. All that I have to do, I have to use the wind in my favor with the Holy Spirit as you stretch your wings. The wind will carry you. The Holy Spirit will carry you. You have to have the courage to do it and do it right. So when she started doing things right, she realized how wonderful this is. Whoa, I can see things so far. And I look at them, I can see everything. Oh, there are my sisters. And for a moment, she thought, there is where I belong. And she decided to go down a little bit, but then something inside of her mind said, no, you are born to fly. You are not a chicken. And she flew. And she flew, and she found someone just like her. And she lived many, many, many years. Yes, I have nothing against chicken. They taste good. But don't try to be one. Do you know what happens to chicken? They eat, and then somebody eats them. You are not born to be like that. Tell your children, you are not born to be a chicken. And by the way, girls, boys, when it comes a time in your age that you have to find somebody else in your life, don't go out looking for a chicken. Eagles don't match with chicken. Do you hear me, young men? You hear me, young people? Just because you're in the same yard with a chicken, don't choose a chicken to be part of your life. God creates you as an eagle. You must find an eagle because God has an eagle to be part of your life. If you are used to be little and belittle yourself by associating yourself with somebody who does not want to do anything else with their lives, then you're doomed to be a chicken. As we believe, so it is. You have the power. God gave you that power. Use it. The way we relate to ourselves, those around us, as well as cosmos, the world, is determined by how we see ourselves. Bad habits and good habits. It is your choice. Which direction are you flying? Are you flying down? Are you flying up? All depends on your choices. It is your choice. You can pray or you can spend all your life complaining because you think you're entitled to everything. Or you can laugh. You can have a positive, a good sense of humor and laugh at things. Don't make things so serious about everything else. Or you can cry, baby. Bye, cry, rah, 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 all day long. It is tough to be around people that are always crying about everything. Live or die. Yes, you have just those two choices. Be honest or lie. And there's a lot of lies around. It is up to each of us to live as our Creator intended us to live, like eagles. You can only fly out of your self-imposed chicken yard when you allow the mighty power of the Holy Spirit to lift you up. That's the only way it can be done. Then you will see yourself as our Heavenly Father sees you. Don't look yourself with your eyes. One prayer that you should make it every morning says, Lord, allow me to borrow your eyes today. I don't want to see things with my eyes. I want to see yours. So would you please, before I look in the mirror, would you allow me to have your eyes? I want to be able to look at myself with your eyes. I want to see my family with your eyes. I want to see my neighbors with your eyes so that I can be what you meant me to be. I can do all things. How much? How much? How much? How much? Say that to yourself. All things through Christ who strengthens me. You won't be able to stretch your wings unless Christ helps you. He will lift you up. Philippians 4 verse 13. brothers and sisters, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Yes, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, because God is their strength. When God created me, should we finish this sentence? When God created me, young people, how do you think we should finish this sentence? He was showing off. That's the way we should think. Now remember, look at this quickly. Look at this. Remember, the ground is a place for chicken. But the sky belongs to eagles.
Amen.
Remember, the grave belongs to the lost, but heaven belongs to the saved.
Amen.
Stretch your wings. He is coming. He is coming. For those that just look like Him. By the way, He is not coming to collect chickens. He is coming for the eagles. Yes, stretch your wings. Soon, very soon, we will be flying home.
Amen.
Very soon, we'll be flying home. My brothers and sisters, I hope that you, as you go home, as you look in the mirror, don't look until you ask God to provide you with His eyes. You don't want to see, you don't want to have a sight. You want to have a vision. You need to live with a vision, not just with a sight. May God bless you and remind you how special you are. Let's stand up and sing together. He leadeth me. Yes, as we fly, He is the one who is going to lead us in this journey. God bless.